and welcome to the Offside Rule. It's me, Kate Borsay, here to comfort you in a warm and cuddly way during the international break. And I tell you what, I needed my coat for the first time today, so I'm feeling like I should be warming a few people up. I'm getting some strange looks from the ladies with me in the studio. Let's tell you who's here. No, seriously, it's quite chilly today. Alongside me, it's the woman who's been celebrating Wolves' progress through the Europa League stages. Are we in danger of losing you, Lindsay Hooper, as you fly over to Besiktas? Because you've been at every one of Wolves' Europa League games so far.
The good news for you is I've been at every home game, so I haven't been doing jaunts to Armenia and all other places yet. And Besiktas would be a great one to go to, but I'm not sure I can schedule anything else in my life right now. In fact, I'm sizing up this room as to whether I could potentially kip here if my house still isn't complete when I'm moving on Monday.
Lindsay's in the process of moving house. And as you can tell, well, as you may have sussed with a woman like Lindsay Hooper, she likes to cram a lot in. And I have moved Lindsay once in my life.
Oh, that was the worst. And it was the worst weather.
Using just my car. And it absolutely shook down with rain. The heavens opened. And I've just got visions of us trying to stuff duvets and poofy things and pillows into the back of my car.
Not just the back of your car. You came with, what is it, on the top?
A roof box.
A roof box.
Yeah. Anyway, we need to introduce the other lady who's with us here in the studio. A woman who inadvertently lit up Twitter after a tweet from James Blunt. Faye Carruthers, tell us what happened.
Well, it was just an ordinary, quiet Thursday morning.
I need some music.
I was just
so
in a meeting.
Take us there. It was
a quiet day. Mm. I came out of a meeting and my phone had gone absolutely bonkers with, oh my God, Faye, have you seen this? ... I log on to Twitter. My notifications have gone mental and there is a photograph of me. A not very flattering photograph of me in a freeze frame, which when you work on Soccer Saturday, I get various freeze frames sent to me from friends and family going, just seen you on TV. It's like, come on, pick a better picture. I do
it's
smile
so hard to
sometimes.
Get a good one though, isn't
it's
it?
It's very hard to get a good freeze frame. So a freeze frame where admittedly I look a little bit like James Blunt. And James Blunt has picked this up and decided, because he is the king of Twitter, he is absolutely hilarious.
He's brilliant on Twitter.
But this one in particular was, a lot of you have been wondering what I've been up to recently with a photograph of me. Now, I immediately started laughing when I saw it. I didn't take it as insulting. I then paused for a little bit when loads of my friends and family started messaging me, including Lynn's, going, you don't look anything like James Blunt.
Oh, well, I didn't even say you don't look anything like him. I was like, what is this? I don't understand.
My mum didn't understand it either.
I just didn't understand what was going on. But I saw that it lit up and that, I mean, I'd seen how many retweets and all different things it had had.
I have to admit, too, it took me a few minutes to realise it, too. And if you are after some more dodgy lookalikes, stay tuned, because I can guarantee that
But that's the beauty of them, isn't it? That is the beauty, that you don't actually always see it yourself.
No, it's like the magic eye.
Yeah.
Some people can see it, others can't.
Some people can't. Are you annoyed by it yet, or are you still taking it in good humour?
I still find it funny. I've got a whole new load of Twitter followers who are going to be desperately disappointed when they realise I only talk about football.
Not only that, you had an invite from James.
I did, yeah.
What?
He direct messaged me to apologise and say, I've always been likened to looking like a girl, and if I could pick any girl to look like, I pick you.
That's nice.
And I laughed and I said, that's very kind of you, thank you. And I said, I'm sure Millwall will be fun on Saturday. And he messaged me the morning of the Millwall match saying, if you hear You're Beautiful sung to you or get too much stuff, I can only apologise. I'm really sorry. Him and his wife own a pub not far from Stamford Bridge. And he said, if you're ever at Chelsea next, please pop in. I definitely owe you a drink.
Oh.
So, which is very, very kind of him.
I might take him up on it. I thought he was going to offer you concert tickets, Faye, then. But I mean, I'm not sure. Would you have wanted to go to a James Blunt concert?
Well, yeah, I quite like James Blunt. My mum actually cracked a funny the other day, which I haven't used on Twitter, because his new album's called Cold. We should probably give it a plug, bearing in mind he's done a lot for my publicity the last couple of weeks. But she said, oh, is that because he's been cold on the gantries recently, because that's where he's been? I was like, nice one, Mum, I like that.
Well done, Mrs. Mom. Carruthers. Well, you made the Daily Mail.
Yes, Faye. I did. Wow, what an
accolade.
You
were covering publicity of this. And I took a look at some of the comments just to see how the story had gone it's like one of those love-hate things, isn't it, when you go onto the Daily Mail and you look at the comments, because you kind of don't want to look, but you do. But I'm glad I did, because generally positive stuff, like, they do look very similar. Someone else said, I find that quite insulting to her.
I didn't find it insulting. I found it funny. It's nice that people are worried about me, but genuinely it was funny.
Outraged of the Daily Mail. And then someone else just simply put, cloning is real. And it was just finished off with someone else leaving the comment, you're terrible.
You're terrible. Someone at school once said to me that I look like the lead singer of Placebo. I was very insulted.
I don't even know who that is.
I don't know who that is, but just the fact that you've been compared to a placebo.
I remembered it for the rest of my life. Yep. So a bit different when you're at school, though, I think.
Well, Hayley McQueen, in case you wondered where she is, she's now on her mat leave. So she'll be taking a break from us here on the Offside Rule, but we're sending her loads and loads of love. And we will try and tweet some sort of picture if we're allowed at some point. I have been leading my double life as part sport person, part politics stroke news person this week. I've been with all the crazy people in Westminster the last few days. And I'm including all the politicians when I say crazy people.
If I see you developing a Jacob Rees-Mogg stance.
What, slouch?
Yeah, during this podcast, I'll be on you like a ton of bricks.
I feel like I could.
Have you seen that video of the guy? He must have green screened it. So you've got Jacob Rees-Mogg.
Yes,
in,
I have.
Yeah, and he goes in for a kind of Ross and Joey cuddle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It's been really good fun. And I've met a man who likes to dress up as Boris Johnson. There's actually another guy who goes down there topless with a xylophone. There's been some very interesting protesters there. A woman who made a Boris Johnson sock puppet as well. So there we go. However, right now, I'm really just looking forward to getting into some football and sort of away from all that stuff. So a reminder that you can now hear us on Jack Radio every Friday night from 7. Jack's available online and now on digital radio too. And you can follow us outside of listening time at the Offside Rule Pod on both Insta and on Twitter. Now, on today's show, we're talking You're Beautiful. Yes, more of that good old James Blunt lookalike action. As I mentioned, we're going to be asking you both for your best lookalikes in football. We're also going to be discussing the biggest news of the week because it's International Week. Wise men after the event. That's the footballing feud between Alan Shearer and Michael Owen. And because of that, we're looking back at other names to hit the headlines after falling out in football. We could go on for ages and there are some very infamous cases, but we've been trying to come up with maybe a few more random ones. That's all to come on The Offside Rule.
Goodbye, my lover. Goodbye, my friend. You have been the one.
But first, we'll keep the James Blunt song titles rolling with Goodbye, my lover. I can't say the James Blunt song without singing it. Can you?
I've tried. You have a better voice than me, and you're very good at doing that. You can sing as you're talking. I don't want to upset
people. Must have been all those years of musical theatre, Faye, behind me.
I tend to do that thing of singing songs, but to a different tune. So I can't get it in my head straight away.
So it doesn't really work. So if I said to you, goodbye, my lover.
I'd struggle with that one more. I mean, everyone knows Beautiful.
Goodbye, my friend.
Yeah.
That's the next line.
Goodbye, my lover. Anyway, let's roll on. This week, the transfer window's finally slammed shut. Other cliches are available after a summer of moving around across the continent. But can we agree it was a bit of a whimper in the end? It sort of stuttered to a close, didn't it? None of the big moves we'd hoped would happen did happen. And we talked about this a few weeks ago, Lindsay. Like Neymar to Real Madrid or Eriksen to, well, Manchester United or anywhere else he seems
Neymar
to want.
Neymar to Barcelona in the end, it was meant to be, wasn't it?
But yes. Now, we thought it best to have a look at some of the winners and the losers of the transfer window. So we're particularly having a look at this sort of extra bit on the transfer window where there is still Europe action to think about. So Faye, kick us off.
So I think Spurs won by keeping
so many players.
Eriksen in particular.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind how important he is. Obviously targeted by Manchester United and Real Madrid. Real Madrid were the only ones in this extra transfer window that probably could have taken him. He's made no secret that he's been trying to move on, try something new. He's still not signed this new contract at Spurs. He's actually come out this week and told a Danish media outlet that he wished he could decide his own future like Football Manager, which is interesting.
Yeah, but
if only we could all do that. It's not real life. It's not real life. But, you know, he's played in all four of Spurs' opening Premier League fixtures and made a real difference. You know, maybe he's trying to convince Daniel Levy that he should put his hand in his pocket more because, you know, what everybody thinks is the reason that he wants to go is because he's not earning the big bucks that perhaps his performances are suggesting he should be. You know, he scored in the derby draw against Arsenal, and every single goal that Tottenham have scored this season has been when Eriksen has been on the pitch, and he started on the bench for the first two.
Let's look at the argument as to whether Spurs are punishing him or not. Are Spurs punishing him by making him play and therefore saying to him, you can say whatever you like, but you're here in the team? Or are they doing him a favour by playing him, you know, saying to fans, he's here, he's still very much a part of our plans?
Well, I think it works on both fronts. They're doing him a favour because, you know, he obviously needs to be in the team and still in the shop window, if you like. It's in his best interests to play as well as he can, which obviously is then in Tottenham's best interests. Mm. And it's in Tottenham's best interests to get, if he is going to go, the best price for him.
I would say, from where you started this, where you said that Spurs won the transfer window, I would say they've won it for now. But I think that this is going to open a whole new can of worms for January. Mm. So I don't think this is a consistent season ahead for Spurs, because we saw how much it did upset them, how much it upset Mauricio Pochettino. He admitted it, that it was playing a part. That the final hours, we saw Barcelona come in and try and make a move for Lucas Moura at £50 million. You've got other players as well there that in the last year of the contracts, as well as Eriksen. So that includes Jan Vertonghen, Toby Alderweireld. Serge Aurier was another name that was being linked with potentially moving away during that European window. So I think that they've won for now, but I think that this next period between now and Christmas for Spurs is really important, because there feels like there's something going on. It feels like not everything is happy like it was potentially last season, season before. I think we saw murmurings of it starting when Mauricio Pochettino was talking about him not being responsible for transfers and just being the coach. We've seen this.
There's and obviously, he made that comment ahead of the Champions League final, didn't he? Saying that if he'd won, he wouldn't
But there is no denying how important Eriksen is as a player for them. Mm. The thing that changes this landscape for Spurs is that even if they let him go in January, the window's open then to them to do business too. Mm-hmm. Whereas because of this layered approach where our window had closed and the European transfer window is still open, now that might actually be readdressed for next year. They're saying that we'll end up back in line with Europe again.
Yeah.
But because of that, it could have been a situation where Spurs were losing players, especially if big money had been offered, and not actually getting anyone in to replace them. And that could have derailed the season, couldn't it?
Who else, Faye?
I think Spurs won the European window in that way. I'm now looking at who lost it. And West Ham, for me, that came from absolute nowhere. Javier Hernandez going to Sevilla.
Yes.
Just from nowhere. He signs a three-year deal. I mean, I know that Sebastian Haller has been a revelation, if you like, for West Ham, and everybody's saying how amazing he is. But Hernandez is their second choice centre forward. He's a super sub. He comes on and scores important goals in big matches. He's a consummate professional. Why on earth would you let him leave? Mm. And by all accounts, he's also taken a £92,000 pay cut a week, which is enormous.
Yeah. So the little P is a few P less now, isn't it?
Yes. He clearly wanted out. So I understand it from that point of view. But if you're West Ham, who over the past couple of seasons have had a number of really big injuries that have derailed them across the season, why would you then only have one experienced centre forward?
And also, why would you let him go only to then supposedly be in pursuit of Mario Mandzukic?
It's all a bit odd, isn't it?
Why would you do that?
Because
you've got to wait until January now to even try and get him. Manchester United apparently wanted him. It's like Faye says, why would you let your backup striker? Because Allaire does look like he's the real deal.
Of course.
And they haven't had that striker that scored 15 plus goals per season. They need that. But yeah, it seemed like a strange move. I have to say it was on my list as well, Faye.
Yeah, they've got an understudy. And I don't know anything about this guy. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing his name right. So I'm going to apologise in advance. And you might know more about him than I do. Albion Ayeti, who came from FC Basel. He's 22 years old, scored loads of goals in Switzerland, 43 in 96 appearances. But he's unknown in the Premier League and he's unproven.
So was Anna, though, you know, to a certain extent. I know his profile was a little bit bigger.
And he's older and more experienced.
Yes,
whereas, you know, this is a 22-year-old who's been plying his trade in Switzerland. I just think that's a big risk to take.
It is.
And I know that Yarmolenko coming back is like a new signing for them, but they've just lost Mikhail Antonio for about 4 or 5 months to a hamstring injury. So there's goals coming out of the team. I just don't understand the thinking behind it.
Mm. Lindsay, last time we talked about this, you suggested that Leicester might still be raided and that Monaco were going to buy everyone. which they sort of did.
Well, they sort of did. I mean, if you throw in, they got Chelsea midfielder Bakayoko as well, didn't they? He rejoined them on loan. I mean, they sort of did. I think if you were going to ask me who won the transfer window and who lost, in terms of a player who lost, I've got to go to your team, actually, Kate, to Liverpool and say Dejan Lovren, because he wanted to get away.
He did.
And he said he wasn't happy sitting on the bench at Liverpool at all, especially when you consider that Croatia, you know, how far they've got in major tournaments and the part that he's played. He must be so frustrated. You know, he's behind Van Dijk, he's behind Matip now,
Gomez,
he's behind Gomez. So for him, I think he's the player right now that lost that window.
He has come out and spoken afterwards and just said that this was all engineered, because he admits he wasn't happy on the bench and he wanted to leave. But he says he's kind of relieved to be staying. Now, I guess he has to say that, but he has come out and said, look, let's just draw a line under it now and move on, and let's see what happens this season. Someone I wanted to pick out. In fact, it seems that Roma have been winners in terms of acquiring players. Chris Smalling's gone on loan there after 9 years at United. And his agent's actually come out, you know, we have to take this with a little pinch of salt, but his agent's come out and said it could turn into a permanent move. Another player he'll join there is former teammate Mkhitaryan. He's moved from Arsenal, again, loan until the end of the season, and said a lack of game time was behind that move away. So Roma certainly coming out of this
well.
There
seems to be, from this last transfer window, a much bigger link between the Premier League and Italy now, don't you think? Mm, yeah. And also, when Romelu Lukaku joined Inter, apparently he was the guy partly behind the fact that Alexis Sanchez ended up going there.
And Antonio Conte.
Antonio Conte, yeah, as well, yeah, who was really trying to get him. But
what about Bale? Can
it?
I bring Bale?
Into
this, but of course he remains at Real Madrid, and, you know, weirdly enough, I love how this happens, has ended his 169-day league scoring drought by netting twice against Villarreal at the weekend.
But is he a winner or a loser? That's the thing.
Well, he also got two yellow cards and was sent off at the end of the game, by the way. So, well, look, if he's prepared to give it another go, then fair enough. But it comes down to opportunity, and it comes down to how he's treated within that team. And
he's winning on the wages front.
He is winning on the wages front. So we're going to say winner stroke loser on that front as well. Keylor Navas, he's moved from Real Madrid to PSG. When he played for Real Madrid, I think he played really well, but he just didn't get the opportunities there and didn't get enough praise, I think, also.
And one thing to move this topic on, because I'd already mentioned January, so I thought, well, why not just list some of the other big players right now in the Premier League that are in the final year of their contract? Mm. So these are up in the summer. So if you're thinking about January already, which is what I always do, I go into the next thing. You've got David De Gea, all the ones that we've already said at Spurs, Callum Hudson-Odoi, Ryan Fraser at Bournemouth, Nemanja Matic, Eric Bailly at Manchester United. James Milner is in the last season of his contract. Nathaniel Klein, Willian, Pedro, Olivier Giroud, Fernandinho as well at Manchester City. So there's quite a lot there.
Christian Benteke.
And Christian Benteke, who Faye's got on the end.
One final thing to wrap this up. Spare a thought for former Leicester City forward Shinji Okazaki, who's left Malaga after 34 days. So he was a winner, now he's possibly a loser. The reports say that he'd had his contract cancelled by mutual consent because the Spanish club couldn't meet his wage demands.
Which, I mean, how they didn't know this before?
It's very odd. He said on Twitter after the departure from Malaga, he said, I don't regret anything. If I've got the chance to play for Malaga again one day, I won't hesitate. And I thought, well, that's very good natured of you to say you want to go back to the club that said that they can't afford your wages. But anyway, good luck to him as he moves on to a new club. Well, weirdly, incidentally, this takes us on to our next topic, because, Faye, you've had your fair share of doppelganger issues with James Blunt, but in a different sort of way. Michelle Owen from Sky Sports. It seems to be a Sky Sports link here, because the spat between Michael Owen and Alan Shearer involved Michelle Owen in some way.
Yeah.
And that's because poor Michelle Owen, I mean, I love people on Twitter. It says Michelle, not Michael, but it didn't mean that she didn't get loads of abuse that was aimed at Michael Owen to her instead. And Michael Owen's come out and apologised to her as well. So poor Michelle Owen, she's getting dragged into that.
She's had it for ages, and she keeps saying, you know, maybe my account should be not the Michael Owen. But, you know, she's Michelle Owen. She's got like 60,000 followers in her own right. How can you mix them up?
All right, well, next up, let's talk more verbal fisticuffs. Well, whilst we have you listeners, let me just take a moment to tell you about our new WSL show. It's called the Offside Rule WSL Edition. Every week we're going to be reviewing the latest action and debating the biggest stories from around the world of women's football. And you can already listen to our first show, the big WSL preview show, as we chew the fat over every single club in that top league of women's football. In it, we speak to goalkeepers Karen Bardsley and Siobhan Chamberlain ahead of the big Manchester derby this Saturday. And we also talk with Anita Asante about Chelsea and what they're hoping for this season.
Even among our staff, you know, we have a lot of new things going on here that's going to gain us some small margins, both individually and collectively. And I think everyone in the squad has responded really well to the changes and is super excited to just kick off the season.
It's already out, so just have a search on your podcasting device now for The Offside Rule WSL Edition and hit subscribe. The Offside Rule WSL Edition. Remember, because women's football is for life, not just for every few years or so. Well, this is The Offside Rule with me, Kate Borsay, joined in the studio by Lindsay Hooper and Faye Carruthers. And on go the James Blunt links, Faye, just for you, because we'll milk this until it dies a death. Our topic number two, Wise Men After the Event. Now, apparently that's a James Blunt song, but I'd never heard of it before. There were three wise men just trying to have some fun. In light of Alan Shearer and Michael Owen's very public catfight over who was more committed to Newcastle than who. In fact, a quick catch-up, let's just set the story on this one. So Owen's got a new autobiography out in which he says he regrets going to the Magpies from Real Madrid and he couldn't wait to retire, sparking Shearer to say, "Yes, Michael, we thought that also whilst on 120k a week." Shots fired. To which Owen responded to Shearer over Twitter again. "I distinctly remember you being inches away from signing for Liverpool after Sir Bobby Robson put you on the bench. You tried everything to get out."
Oh my gosh.
This is like cardinal sin.
It's like a PR guru's dream, wow. This, isn't it? It's International Week and he's got books to sell.
I don't think it was invented by any PR guru, and that's, I wouldn't say beauty of this, but that's why it's hit so many headlines, I suppose. So let's move on from their little spat and move on to other spats from the world of football. Footballing feuds, please. Lindsay.
I think one of the most recent in memory would be between two managers a few years ago. So I'm going to go for the Jose Mourinho and Andre Villas-Boas one, because they were really good friends. So I think that's what's really tragic about it, is that they'd worked together. So for anyone who doesn't know, Andre Villas-Boas was on Mourinho's coaching staff and a scout when he was on that rise, that managerial rise for his career at Chelsea and Inter Milan. So they'd worked together, and I don't think that Mourinho really wanted to lose him, but of course AVB decided to go down his own route of managing. That was late 2000s. In 2009, that was when AVB decided, you know, this is it, I'm going to go full throttle for the management career. And then they come against each other because Mourinho's in charge of Chelsea, AVB's at Spurs at this point a few years down the line, and then it all went very public. AVB said that the pair were not friends in the pre-match press conference, and then Mourinho reacted saying that he was acting like a kid. So it was quite a public feud, and it was one that I know that we were working together at the time, Faye, and we were like covering it, because you don't often hear people talking so publicly about each other in that way.
Yeah, it was certainly direct, wasn't it, what was going on there. Faye, what have you got for us?
I don't know if you've seen the recent one, which until earlier on today I hadn't noticed. It's in the headlines. Roy Keane coming back with some venom towards John Walters and some nasty
Roy
words.
Roy Keane has a feud with everyone.
I know, this is why I thought it was funny. I was like, oh, for goodness sake, John Walters, how could you criticise
John Walters?
Yeah, absolutely. And John Walters had gone on a television show in Ireland the other day, and I mean, this is how harsh Roy Keane is when talking about him on TV, crying about his family situation. You know, how about lying low for a while, taking it easy? Have a look at his medals. Wouldn't take long. Ironically, two or three years ago, when his career was coming to the end, he went on loan. He went to Ipswich on loan. I was laughing my head off.
Gosh, so that's what Keane's had to say on TV about John Walters.
Yeah, he was saying it, that there was some kind of chocolate event that he was at.
I'm sorry, hang on a minute. The chocolate event?
Yeah, there was a chocolate event that I know, it sounds really random, doesn't it? I think he was on it with Gary Neville.
Oh,
it was,
my God, I know.
And he's basically like, and this is what is funny, he also says, "John does a lot of talking. It's amazing," says Keane. I think someone else does quite a lot of talking,
don't they?
And, you know, this was all, you know, coming off the back of the Republic of Ireland criticism, obviously. But anyway, I wasn't going to mention that until I saw that earlier on. I was like, oh, he's at it again. My favourite one, or favourite, if you like, I went and revisited ITV calendar from 1974, which was Don Revie and Brian Clough, which was obviously featured in the Damned
featured
United.
In the film as well,
you know, we're all too young to have obviously been around when, thankfully, when the when that actually happened. But, you know, in the Damned United, it all came to light for football fans who weren't around in that era. Of course, Don Revie left Leeds United after 13 years in charge as the hero and became England manager. Brian Clough took his job and was then sacked after just 44 days at Leeds. I mean, this was the genius piece of television that unfortunately you probably just would not see nowadays.
No, but it was, never happened.
It was amazing. Half an hour's worth, or I think it might have even been like 40 minutes worth, of them just kind of trying to outfox each other and throw insults at each other in, you know, trying to be intelligent about it, but then kind of hating the other person so much that when they then go to praise them in some way, they then come with a butt straight away. And, you know, Clough had said he wanted to do something that Revy hadn't done, and that was win the European Cup.
Yeah.
And he wanted to win the league better. And Revy's like, well, how do you mean win it better? How can you win it better? He's like, well, yeah, they lost four games under you. I wanted to win it having lost three. I could have done that if I'd have been given more time. Anyway, it was just brilliant.
Some great moments. Actually, if you read Brian Clough's autobiography, or in fact, I think it's a biography of him, there's some really interesting stuff in there about it. I've gone back a little bit too, because no one falls out quite like the French, right? We had a brilliant Women's World Cup in France. Lindsay's French knowledge has now excelled incredibly. Faye, I'm sure that you're pretty good at French, probably better than Lindsay.
She wasn't great. She's okay.
I was distinctly average.
I used
Google Translate.
But let's go back to Raymond Domenech, the French manager, who managed to fall out with his whole squad. I think if you're going to do a footballing fallout, why not fall out with everyone in your side? Now, this had been simmering for a while within the French squad, but at the 2010 World Cup, Nicolas Anelka, who else, allegedly described Domenech and his coaching ability in less than flattering terms while out in South Africa. Because of that, Anelka was dismissed, and the French captain at the time, Patrice Evra, responded by having a bit of fisticuffs with Robert Duverne, who was one of the French coaching team, and Domenech had to pull them apart. So there was conflict going on in all areas here. That led to, and I don't know if you remember this, Evra leading all his players back to the team bus and announcing that the whole French squad were going on strike. Remember that? It was like only the French could do this. Eventually, they were persuaded to play, though, and they were unceremoniously ditched out of that World Cup without making it through to the knockout stages.
And you can do that the other way round. I'm doing my finger action, which I know Faye likes.
Is this some footballing like sideline action?
No, it's just like some disco dancing twirl. It's like, by the way, I wish we had a video to show it. It's like a techno dance.
Carlos Vela fell out with the whole of the Mexican national team. So rather than it be the coach falling out with all the team, he fell out with everyone involved with the Mexican national team. He was handed a 6-month ban in 2010 because of some post-match partying after a match with Colombia. He did then agree to play a few years later under manager Viktor Vucicic, but then he declined the call-up afterwards, and they were for two crucial CONCACAF World Cup qualifiers against Panama and Costa Rica. That was one other one. And very quickly, Neymar and Edison Cavani at PSG, because Neymar, who I have a bit of a dislike for anyway, it's irrational. I've never met him. I just feel like, from what I read,
it's his demeanour.
Yeah, his problems. And you imagine that a player of that ilk comes into your club, but Edinson Cavani had been there longer. He'd scored so many goals for PSG by this point, and he dared to take a penalty instead of Neymar, and then Neymar basically got him out the club. That was another football feud.
Wow. That had a hint of sort of Wolverhampton to it, didn't it? Like, and he did this.
Oh yeah.
All right.
You had your hand up in the face.
Yes, that's it. Okay, well, let's go from feelings that get a little bit sour between people to lighten the mood with some footballing doppelgangers.
This is The Offside Rule from Muddy Knees Media.
You're beautiful. You're beautiful. This is, of course, called You're Beautiful, Beautifully Alike. So, Faye, this continues our James Blunt conversation. So in honour of the day that Faye became famous, we're looking for the best lookalikes in football, please. Faye, what can you offer?
So I actually mentioned this to somebody the other day, and I think I've mentioned it to Linz before. Watford manager Javi Gracia, and by the way, I'm just bearing in mind who I'm about to liken him with. I really love Javi Gracia. He's such a nice guy, despite me being a Luton fan. But I think he's got a little bit of the Screech powers from Saved by the Bell about
really?
Him. Have a look. What do
I
you
am.
Think?
Yes. Actually, I am seeing it now. You know how you have to wait, and in fact, if you're listening to this, you might have to pop onto your phone because sometimes you need to see a picture.
Yep. Mm. And I'll put one on Twitter. Oh no, I won't do that.
No, please don't.
Professionally, I will
please
not
don't do
that.
Any lookalikes on Twitter. Okay, let's move on to Lindsay.
Well, someone we all know, Chris Kamara, I've always thought the Lionel Richie comparison.
Oh, it's the tash.
It is the tash.
Yeah, it is.
People would know that. I have to say, it's there. You have to really look. Harry Kane and Ryan Gosling.
I have heard that one before, actually. What about Olivier Giroud, who reckons he looks like Errol Flynn? That's not anyone else who's offered that. That's of course,
so
Olivier
sure.
Giroud's opinion. Joe Hart looking like James Van Der Beek. Dawson's Creek.
I see that a little
elements
bit,
of that.
A little
Owen
bit.
Hargreaves and Richard Madden.
Yeah.
Producer Lucy likes that one. You two are looking...
I wasn't so sure.
Lindsay's just given me a flat, emotionless, reactionless face to that one, as if to say... No.
But again, this is what we said earlier. Some people see it, some people don't. I'm just envisaging here as we sat here. One of my favourite ones, I think it's quite uncanny, is Karim Benzema and Shia LaBeouf.
And I have to agree with that one.
I think that is uncanny.
That is probably one of the best ones.
One of my favourites, though, is Brad Friedel. And guess who? Bruce Willis.
I wonder if he gets that a lot. Faye, we know who you've been told that you look like. Actually, apart from James Blunt, who do you most often get that you look like?
Do you know what? I'm going to go back. I'm going to relive my youth as an 18-year-old.
Go on.
When I had a really nice, flattering photograph of me happened to make me look a little bit like Kate Winslet during the Titanic era.
Ooh.
Now,
yeah.
I was like, oh my goodness me, that's amazing. I'll dine out on that for a little while. That would be great. Until pretty much every single one of my family spat out their tea laughing and went, no, you don't.
Oh, no, got it.
Don't spoil it for me.
18-year-old Faye, her confidence levels have taken a nosedive there with that one. Yeah. Lindsay, who do you get?
No, don't do this.
I don't know that you do look like anyone.
Well, I've had I have had something a lot, which clearly isn't true. It's literally,
You know what she's doing now, Faye? She's building up for someone really, really, really like model attractive.
Yeah, no, they are. They are amazing. And I don't mean to do that. No, I don't mean that. I think it's an eye thing. I think it's around my eyes because I clearly don't look like her. But I do get Cameron Diaz a lot around my eyes.
Oh, I can see the eyes. I can see the eye thing.
But of course, you can't, when you ask me that, I can't go, Cameron Diaz. I look like Cameron Diaz.
A cheekbone thing, I think.
I don't know what it is, but there is something around my eyes. I've had it quite a lot. I've had it more than once. So I'm going to take that as
Take it. For myself, do you know who I get compared to a little bit?
I don't know.
When I was younger, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh yes.
I think it's too. Because of the hair.
I can totally see that.
More than anything else.
No, you have the same delicate features. I can see that.
Faye, that's very kind of you. I've got quite a large nose, anyway.
No one has got cheekbones like you.
Oh, thanks.
No one.
Thank you, apart from Gwyneth Paltrow. Hi, I'm Emma.
And I'm Jeffers.
And we host the Series Linked podcast, all about the telly that's both on and in demand. We're able to tell you what you should be watching and what might be worth a swerve.
Previous guests include Simon Cowell, Susanna Reid, and Ricky Gervais.
We speak to some of the biggest names in telly. Plus, we're compiling a definitive list of the box sets to watch before you die.
Search for Series Linked on your preferred podcast app.
The podcast for TV fans by TV fans. All right, well, as ever, we're going to finish the show on Any Other Business, my favourite section, just because this is when it can get a little bit off the wall. I'm going to kick off with a really bad day at the office for ex-Liverpool player Sebastián Coates, who had a night to forget, plays for Sporting Lisbon now. He conceded 3 penalties before being sent off. That is a bad game. Yes, basically fouled an opposing player 3 times. In the end, he got sent off for his troubles. I've written down here, doo-doo's done-done.
I'm sorry, what?
Rangers have confirmed that Joe Doo-doo has had his contract terminated by mutual consent.
Oh, is that the headline?
Joe Doo-doo's done-done. Well, that was my headline anyway, if that's how it's all pronounced. D-O-D-O-O.
Do you know what? I didn't have any other business, but now I've kind of got one because just reminded me of something that I did. I was up at the Edinburgh Fringe with my husband a couple of weeks ago, which was great. We just went for the last weekend and we did Guru Doo-doo's silent disco, where you walk around Edinburgh with your headphones on.
The whole of Edinburgh.
That is why you were paying so much attention to my finger movements.
I was. And we literally, walking up towards the castle, we were punching the air to Eye of the Tiger. Dun, 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 up the stairs. 40 people with headphones on.
All doing the same thing, hilarious, likely. Oh. England's World Cup stars, the women, have capped off a pretty good year by being the inspiration of the year at the GQ Awards recently in their run-up to the semi-finals in June. Yeah. Jill Scott and Karen Carney went up to accept the trophy, so well done to them.
They looked fabulous as well.
They did indeed. Gorgeous outfits. Anything else from you, Lindsay Hooper?
So it's International Week, which means that I've had the chance to explore a story and go and maybe do a different
research
sort of feature. Research
it properly,
yeah. So I went down to Brighton and...
Just to research this story?
I went to go and do some filming down there with a very young filmmaker who's being tipped to be the next Steven Spielberg. And he's only 19. He's working on his second feature film at the moment. And
how did you end up in Brighton with this person?
Okay, because I managed to read about this story in the Brighton Argus. And I thought, oh, this is worth exploring. And then when I looked into it more, it was true, because the link to football is that they cast Billy Reid, the assistant manager at Brighton and Hove Albion, as a part in this feature film. But if you go even back further to this, before Graham Potter and Billy Reid came to Brighton, they were in Sweden at Östersunds, and they really embraced, they had like a culture project as part of the club, and they embraced it all. So they did art, they performed Swan Lake Ballet to 2,000 people. So, yeah.
What did they do in Swansea?
So they have decided to look at the arts and culture again, and Billy said yes to this Albion season ticket holder who happens to be this filmmaker, and I was down filming bits of his scene and talking to him about it and how it's good for team bonding and all those sorts of
things. So it's good for team bonding to be in films and stuff.
I think they said that the culture side of things, it brings the group together, but I guess it also works
experience.
On confidence.
Shared experience, I would say.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. I can't really top that. So that's it for another week of
the
Offside Rule. Go on, yes.
The film, because I have to give it a proper plug, Vindication Swim. It's going to be about a woman from Brighton who was the first English woman to cross to swim the Channel.
That doesn't sound like Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't sound like E.T. either.
Well, I'm just saying, people say Spielberg, but, you know, use your other...
Could be anyone. All right, that's it for another week of the Offside Rule. Please do hit subscribe on your various devices to make sure you get each episode as soon as it's launched. Leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and we'll read out our favourites. Plus, it helps other people find us too. Until next time, make sure you're following us on Twitter and Instagram. It's at Offside Rule Pod for both. We've got 3 new female writers on our website, which is awesome. Plus some male writers too doing features. We've got WSL, so Women's Super League build-up pieces there for you as well. So pop over to the website offsiderulepodcast.com for all the latest features and articles there. Don't forget to check out our WSL edition as well, available on all good podcasting apps. Faye and Lindsay, thank you. Listeners, thank you again, and we'll be back next week with more.
The Offside Rule is a Muddy Knees Media production. For sales and advertising, email sales@muddyneesmedia.com.